Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
The second half of the baseball season is here, and each game means a little bit more. We're talking pennant races and wild card chases, with each pitch bringing us closer to the playoffs. The free Odyssey app lets you listen to live play-by-play of your local team, so no matter what you're up to, you'll never have to miss another game. Download the free Odyssey app today and keep baseball close by all summer long. That's AUDACY. Odyssey.
Of course, this is how it happens. I haven't been on the radio in just under a week, and the second I have to turn on the microphone, I have a headphone malfunction, of course, because it couldn't go any other way. Hello! I'm back, as you can now tell. Back and probably not better than ever, but we'll piece it together. Thank you for all of your messages on Twitter X. Nope, not going to do it. On Twitter and our Facebook page. It's really good to hear from so many of you. And I will confess right up front, I did almost no social media. I took a long weekend and I checked out. I was busy. Lots of appointments, lots of time with mom, lots of time with Bob's mom and his family. And so it was a really great trip. We had so much going on. We were running here and there and everywhere. And when I say running, I do mean actual running. Phew, disaster averted, headphones are fixed. You already know I'm crazy. You're going to think I'm even crazier when I tell you what I did while I was in Houston that has to do with running. Anyway, Bob was seriously reconsidering all of his options, as in he needs to run himself because I'm a nut. Anyway, I got stories. Of course I got stories. I had to tell you about TSA PreCheck. Where have you been all my life? I'm totally in love with TSA PreCheck and with the travel deal. It was really a travel negotiation that I made that I did keep up my end of the bargain. So there's lots of good stuff to tell about the trip to Houston. Yes, it was hot. You don't need to ask me. Yes, in fact, it was hot with 1,000% humidity. And whatever. It's not the first time I've been in heat and humidity. It won't be the last, considering I'll be back in Houston in a month. Yes, I am a glutton for punishment. But it was a great trip. So happy to spend time with my mom. She is the best. She's recovering really well from foot surgery. We maybe did a little bit too much on the foot, but I'm so happy to be able to see her and make sure I can help her. Although one time I was supposed to be helping with the laundry, I was out walking and she did it without me and told me I couldn't tell her husband because she was going to get in trouble. So we were in cahoots. But it was a really good long weekend, time in the pool. I did some cooking. Actually, didn't do any baking. I did some eating. Oh, definitely did some eating. And it's good to be back now, rejuvenated and ready for another month, uninterrupted in the wake of Major League Baseball's trade deadline. And you guys, 48 hours from now, we will be talking about the first preseason game of the 2023 NFL run. That's it. The schedule kicks off on Thursday night. We were actually both done, producer Jay and I, because we were doing some show prep earlier, and I thought it was this weekend, the Hall of Fame game. No, actually not. It's Thursday night with the Jets. Uh-huh. And the Browns.
The Browns are back.
The Browns are back and better than ever. The game taking place in Canton. And so we will actually have, I'm not going to tell you football to break down, but we'll actually have the sights and sounds of the NFL at least for a few minutes. There'll be a lot of pomp and circumstance around it. It is the Hall of Fame game. It's Hall of Fame weekend. So all of that is really important. The game itself matters not at all unless someone gets hurt. That's the key. I'm not even going to speak it into existence. But it is coming up, you guys. 48 hours from now, we will have our first preseason game in the books. Now, baseball doesn't have to step aside yet, but I would say it is wisdom of Major League Baseball. Not that they changed their schedule at all, because the trade deadline is always July 31st, beginning of August. But it works perfectly for baseball to make this big splash, suck people in with the trade deadline moves, and there were some doozies before the NFL kicks off its preseason. Now, the preseason's kind of funny, right? Because we watch for a few snaps, and then right away, oi, who are these people? What are we watching? Okay, what else is on? So it's really more about just seeing the uniforms, some of the players, hearing the sounds of football back again, and then recognizing it is one gigantic step to get to the actual kickoff, which is still over a month away. So let's not get carried away, please. But it is football. Well, it's fake football. I mean, it's fake football. We still have plenty of baseball, obvi. There's a lot going on there, and we're going to dive into that coming up. Women's World Cup still taking place with controversy. What is happening to Team USA? This is really the best team in the world? If not for the post, for the love of the post. I do love the clangs and the noises, whether it's pucks or soccer balls off the post. It's one of the most recognizable noises in sports when it's mic'd up. So we have a lot to talk about. Yes, we'll get to QB news because that's what we do. And it's the hump show. And before you give me any flack about how I'm only working three nights this week, I just want you to know, on the front end of my trip to Houston, I was awake more than 30 hours in a row. So 31 hours, I think I was awake. I got home on Thursday morning. I had to clean, pack. I had a bit of a crisis with my pet situation. Worked out great. Penny and Sugar are fine. They're better than fine. They had lots of visitors. But had a bit of a crisis I had to work out. Wasn't expecting anyone to be in the house. And so I had to clean the house and get packed. I hadn't packed at all. So awake 31 hours by the time I fell asleep on Thursday night at mom's house. And then on the back end of the trip, because my schedule had been completely flipped upside down, that's what I do when I'm on vacation or on a break. I instead am awake usually before 8 o'clock in the morning, but I'm in bed by 10, 11. But it was my last night with the family, last night with Bob. And so stayed up way too late and then got a couple hours of sleep before I had to hop on the flight to come back to the New York City area, which is where CBS Sports Radio headquarters are located. And so for that reason, I didn't sleep at the beginning of the trip. I missed the end of the trip in terms of sleep, but there was some good sleep in the middle. And as I say, more importantly, time with family and lots of items checked off, different to-do lists and helping mom out. So I am back. It is the hump show. It felt like a hump, even if it wasn't a show. So please find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, because you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. That always happens on the hump show, and I'm back just in time. On our Facebook page, too. And when you head to our social media, you may see a bright pink flower. It is actually one of the peonies from my front flower beds this spring. And it's the opening photo, the title photo, there's a reason for it, in my latest blog post. And many of you have already read it and have sent comments either on my blog or on Twitter or Facebook. It is my letter to Grammy Helen 1 year after we said goodbye to her. And she did love her flowers and really loved peonies, which is why the pink peony will grab your attention. So I want to say briefly just thank you. I appreciate all of your kind words and your support. And many of you also share stories about your own loved ones that you've either lost recently or you lost years ago, but they still are very much an impactful presence and an impactful part of your lives. So I always enjoy sharing because of what I get back from you. And yes, it is cathartic to write. I do miss Grammy dearly, and it's always good for me to know that you all miss her stories too. So thank you for letting me share her with you one more time. So that post is up on our social media as well if you want to check it out when you have an opportunity. Let's talk baseball, shall we? Oh, the thick irony of the fact, so much. There's so much here, so many layers to the irony. That the New York Mets trade Justin Verlander back to the Houston Astros. The Astros have to give up prospects to get him when they could have just signed him going back to last year when he was a free agent. Now, granted, Steve Cohen outbid everyone as the owner of the New York Mets. That was his entire goal, was to outbid everyone so that he would have no competition in putting together baseball's highest ever payroll, as in the most money ever spent on one team in one season in the history of the game, which goes back more than a century, of course. The Mets turn around and trade Verlander back to the Astros. I'm sure the rest of the American League is thrilled, including the Rangers, including the Yankees, who may not make the playoffs anyway, so they wouldn't have to see him again. But the crazy part is that the Astros could have had him for nothing but money. Now, they aren't paying as much for him because the Mets are picking up the salary. A lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it. But they had to give up a top minor leaguer to get him. Moral of the story: if you choose to get off the pot instead of poop emoji, very often it's going to come back to bite you in your rear end. Now you can't snooze. You snooze, you lose. And I understand that the Mets, again, we're willing to offer more money to Verlander. But the Astros knew his value. Of all the teams in Major League Baseball, the Astros knew his value. He was coming off a Cy Young Award. Maybe Justin Verlander desperately wanted to leave Houston and head to New York. But I just don't believe that. Now, he had a choice. He certainly took the money. He took the big stage. The Mets were coming off 101 wins. They weren't expected to be a slouch, a group of slouches. Well, collectively a slouch. But the fact that Verlander left Houston, went to New York, now heading back to Houston, the Mets are paying a lot of the money, but the Astros had to give up something to get him back is just, it's goofy. I don't understand. Maybe the Astros thought they'd be okay without him, and maybe they would have been, but they're obviously better with him. And Dusty Baker, he of course has a gigantic smile on his face as he talks about getting Verlander back in his rotation. This is pregame before the Astros hosted the Guardians.
That improves my heart's function. You know what I mean? And for a guy who had a stroke, heart function is very, very important. You know, and that does my heart well.
It's a reunion of sorts, reunited, and it feels so good. I love that most of the articles that are written about the Verlander trade to Houston don't just say acquired, but reacquired, because he was a big piece of winning the World Series with the Astros just a few months ago. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, now 40 years old, coming off that Cy Young in Houston. The Astros really decided not to be super aggressive in pursuing him. And they did put their faith in a rotation that was much younger, right? So Verlander signed that two-year, what was it, nearly $87 million, $87, $88 million deal with the Mets, who were in the business of just writing blank checks, essentially. And he's got some money, some options down the road if he continues to pitch well or if he stays in a groove. And so it's good for Dusty Baker. He's not writing the checks, obviously. It's good for Dusty Baker. It's good for the Astros. It's a clubhouse presence that they're familiar with. Certainly a comfort zone for Justin. But just, my goodness, what a long and winding road. I know he was hurt a little bit to start the season. Right now, record is 6-5, and his ERA is just over 3. So he's not made as many starts. But this is the same Justin Verlander. Even if he gets hit a little harder, and how funny is it, too, that now he and Max Scherzer are on. Remember, they started in Detroit together. They both won Cy Youngs in Detroit. Then they went their separate ways, Justin to Houston, Max to Washington. Max wins a World Series with the Nationals. Justin wins one with the Astros, or two, actually, with the Astros, plus another Cy Young. They reunite in New York. Now they're split up. And they're in the same division, the top two teams in the AL West. From the category of you can't make this stuff up, it's so delicious and yet so convoluted. So yes, now Justin and Max will be facing each other, in a manner of speaking, back in the AL West with a pennant race underway. I think because of Justin's experience, you take the numbers as a piece of the equation. He's been hit hard in some spots and definitely doesn't go deep in games like he used to. Not typically. But he still brings that bulldog tenacity to the mound. He's still extremely familiar with the guys in Houston and the fans in Houston, of course. This is going to be like putting on your old comfy sweatpants. Or producer Jay, who wears slippers year-round. The second he gets home from work, it's slippers to the bottom of his feet.
Every day.
Because they make him feel like he's home and he's comfortable and he's relaxed after working this oh-so-strenuous schedule here on After Hours. You know that I crack the whip. So Verlander is back to Houston. Max Scherzer introduced with the Texas Rangers and not without parting shots at the New York Mets. You'll hear from him coming up. But we're not done with you, Houston, or you, New York. But on the same day that the Astros bring back a decorated pitcher, a future Hall of Famer, a former MVP and Cy Young Award winner, the guy who was probably most important to them winning the World Series in 2017, aside from the trash cans, and of course really important to them winning last year, in addition to that piece, they make history once again on Tuesday night.
That's what you like to see as a pitcher.
So we will continue with this whole tangled web between the Astros and the Mets, plus Mad Max, more reaction to the trade deadline. The Baltimore Orioles don't stand pat. They make a move, which I like. And the Angels. What about the Angels? Now, we're going to ask and answer a lot of your questions coming up at the top of the hour. Our longtime friend and guest, Scott Miller from San Diego, will join us. No, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about the Padres, though I got to ask him about the NL West and the AL West and the moves that were made and what the heck, New York Mets. So there's a lot to dive into with Scott. We'll keep him around for probably half hour. Coming up at, it would be 2 a.m. Houston time, 2 a.m. Dallas time. It'll be midnight on the West Coast. So find us on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page too. Glad to have you with us, 855-212-4227. Thank you for the happy vacation messages and the welcome back messages and the Grammy Helen messages. You all are sweet. Some of the time. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything and we'll get after it through this edition of The Hump Show here on After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's been 15 no-hitters in the Astros franchise history.
11 of them have been complete game no-hitters. The last one by a guy the Astros just traded for today. Here's the 0-2 to Gallagher. Broken bat, soft liner, Pena catches it, and a no-hitter from Valdez. First one to greet him is Maldonado, and the rest of his teammates pile on. Framber Valdez throws the 16th no-hitter in Houston Astros history.
When the day that the Astros got their ace back, their other ace emerges. Framber all smiles. Dusty Baker gives him a big hug. And it seemed easy, Robert. It seemed easy the whole way.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Robert Ford and Steve Sparks on Houston Astros radio as Framber Valdez throws his first no-hitter and the 16th in their franchise history, as you hear on that final call. It's fitting, is it not, that as Steve points out, they return their former ace in Justin Verlander, and then just to let the rest of the American League and baseball as a whole be on notice, you better watch out. They also get a no-hitter. And even though, so this part is crazy to me. I had to go back and look at the dates because I didn't remember. Even though it's just the third in baseball this year, do you know it's the third for Houston in just over 13 months? Do you guys remember they had two previous no-nos with combined pitching efforts? So I think there was one, not I think, I did look at the date. The first one of these three came in June of last year, June 25th. I do remember Ryan Pressly was involved in both of them. So there was a regular season no-hitter last year before the All-Star break. Then they had a combined no-hitter in the playoffs, remember? And like I said, Pressly was involved in that one too. So they have actually had three no-hitters in the span of just over a year, a calendar year. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Here's the cool thing about Framber, well, among the many cool things. He was hit hard by the Rangers in his last start. He gave up season highs in both hits and runs, six of them, as a matter of fact. And yet he turns around and he allows just one measly solo base runner on a walk in the fifth inning. Otherwise, this is a perfect game. And he only needs 93 pitches. It's a throwback. It was a throwback to times where we didn't see specialists and different bullpen moves that sometimes make us scratch our heads. No, starters went deep into games and they didn't have pitch counts of 100, but he didn't get anywhere close to that anyway. Pretty amazing. Didn't Domingo Germán throw only 99 pitches in his perfect game? So there are a couple of fantastic performances. Valdez is a 29-year-old from the Dominican Republic and in front of 33,700, he tosses the no-hitter and has a translator with him on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest afterwards.
Me siento bien. Hoy de eso no giro hoy. Le doy la gracia también a... Le doy la gracia a mi queche, Maldi, al equipo también, que hicieron un buen trabajo y... ¿Qué puedo decir? Dale gracias a Dios por todo.
I feel great. You know, I was like, thanks to God, thanks to my catcher and my team who did a great job. And, you know, just very grateful for this.
It's a wonderful day. And, you know, he started out with a bang. I mean, he had his breaking ball from the very, very beginning. Today, his concentration was at a superior level. And, you know, him and Maldi worked, you know, great together.
Martin Maldonado. That's the other half of the battery. And we kind of feel for catchers. Generally, yes, it is the pitchers who are throwing the ball, but it's the catchers who are working with them, not only keeping them calm, but in many cases are navigating the various hitters based on their research and their film. No banging of trash cans. They're obviously calling the games too, in many cases, not every case. Pitchers, I think of them like the golfers and the caddies are like the catchers. No championship golfer would tell you, well, if he's worth his weight, no championship golfer would tell you that it was a solo effort as opposed to a team effort. They all rely heavily on their caddies to do the research, to walk the course. In many cases, the caddies themselves have played these courses so that they can have as much prep done beforehand when it comes to clubs, when it comes to length, when it comes to approaches and where you hit and how you hit, where you land on the green, all this stuff. It's extensive research so that the golfers can focus on hitting the ball when they're addressing it, as opposed to all the different variables. That's where the caddy comes in. That research and their books that they've done for days ahead of time, and maybe for years, if it's a course that they've played more than once. In the case of Augusta National, right, we're talking about a volume of information for caddies who are experienced. Well, I think of that relationship in the same way that I do with the pitchers and the catchers. The pitchers, none of them would tell you, again, if they're worth their salt, that they did it all by themselves, because that's ridiculous. Very often the catchers are, again, the ones keeping them calm, talking them through it, giving them options, knowing the hitters. They're sitting back there listening to everything as well. So I love this relationship. Even if the catchers don't get as much attention, it certainly matters. And yes, Maldonado has an opportunity to catch a no-hitter, to be part of history.
This one is really special. This is the first one I ever caught from the same pitcher. The two one I have is combined no-hitter. So it's always special for me, you know. And I take a lot of pride on that, a lot of emotion go to my head, you know. It's a good moment for my kids when they grow up.
It's a great moment for his kids when they grow up, again, on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest. So, yeah, Maldonado was part of the combined no-hitter. Again, there were two in the past 13 months for the Astros, but this one belongs solely to Framber Valdez with 93 pitches, 7 strikeouts, and just a single base runner in what was really a low-scoring affair. The Guardians only gave up 2 runs themselves. And yeah, on the day when they reacquire Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer gets introduced with the Rangers, now we've got a real dogfight. I hope we have a dogfight. So looking at the updated standings in the AL West, and we haven't even talked about the Angels yet and what they did and did not do at the trade deadline. But the Rangers are now clinging to a half game lead over the Astros because the Rangers they've struggled. They've scuffled a bit here. They've dropped 7 of their last 10, though they did win tonight. The Astros have the same number of victories now, just one more loss. So they're a half game back in the loss column. The Angels above 500. They're 5.5 back of the Rangers in that division, though, of course, the Angels, I don't want to say of course, the division's not out of reach, but you're talking about two of the best teams in the AL that are in your own division or ahead of you. The Angels have made progress, though, in the wild card, where you've got the Astros now as the number 2 wild card behind the Rays. The Blue Jays are sitting right now in that third wild card spot, but the Red Sox are only 1.5 games out, which is crazy, and the Angels are 3 games out. So they've actually leapfrogged the Yankees. So they were ahead of the Mariners, but they've leapfrogged the Yankees. The Mariners and the Yanks are both 3.5 out of that final wild card in the American League, and the Guardians are 6 back. So there are infinite possibilities as we get post-trade deadline on through what will be the next 2 months of the regular season. And again, coming up top of the hour, Scott Miller from San Diego will pick apart some of these moves and why they make sense or they don't make sense. And we'll talk to him about what's to come in the rest of the 2023 season. It is our hump show, which means you can ask Amy anything, sort of. So you can find our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. My Twitter, A-Law Radio, retweeted there. Bright Orange Box, looking for the same on Facebook, and you can send your questions. Jay has started, I guess this goes back now 6 months maybe. Jay started posting the big old bright orange box, the thought bubble, in the evenings. And so because of that, it kind of catches a whole different group of people. And boy, do we get a lot of questions. So I do not relish the job that producer Jay has to do in a couple hours. We'll get to ask Amy anything. All right, straight ahead, we will hear from Max Scherzer, who essentially puts the Mets on blast. And I want to know whether or not baseball needs to investigate. Max Scherzer essentially accuses the Mets, or actually says the Mets told him of their plans for 2024, which we know Rob Manfred is not on board with teams not actually trying to win. So you'll hear from him, plus the general manager of the Mets. And also, while we're putting people on blast, or while some people are putting other people on blast, how about Carly Lloyd? And I don't think she was out of line, but it is one of those really tough challenges for former athletes, especially those who play at a high level. How do they make that jump to broadcasting and strike a fine line between telling the truth, being genuine, authentic, using her experience, in this case, her experience and her wisdom and her time with the U.S. Women's National Team, winning World Cups and winning gold medals. And you use that to tell the truth about what you see without burning every bridge that you ever built with the actual team. Because then what happens? Her former teammates, athletes don't talk. They won't talk to her. They'll be ticked. And so then you don't necessarily have inside intel. So it happens a lot with athletes. They have to learn how to strike that balance. And I don't think Carly was being malicious or had any type of ulterior motive. I just think she has a high standard because she played on this team. And so she called it like she saw it. But it ruffled some feathers. Some USA feathers. Some red, white, and blue feathers, if you will. All right. Find us on Twitter and Facebook. We're glad to have you. It's our hump show after hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Mitch Garver taking not much time to send one high and deep out into left center field. Leaping at the wall is Robert. He can't get it. It's into the Chicago bullpen. Mitch Garver will break through here with the game's first run and give Texas a 1-0 lead.
And the 1-0 pitch, Garcia hammers one to left field. Benintendi turns, watches, that ball's out of here. Adolis Garcia with a line drive home run to left. His 26th of the year, and the Rangers lead 2-0.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros now have the same number of wins, half game separating them in the loss column. And as the Rangers shut out the White Sox on Rangers radio, they maintain that lead, but barely. The Astros, they're coming for you, Rangers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, the Rangers, we know, have made move after move the last couple years. They do not have Jacob DeGrom, which was the biggie in the offseason. Crazy, right? Just the think about the different spokes on this wheel that kind of revolves around the New York Mets. The Mets had Max Scherzer. They add Justin Verlander for a lot of money. They allowed Jacob DeGrom to walk. Essentially, in free agency, he goes to the Texas Rangers, but has barely pitched, and now both Scherzer and Verlander are gone. It's so weird to think about the moves that are made and the excitement, almost the lightning rod attention that was paid to the Mets for the moves in the offseason and building what is the highest payroll in baseball history, and now womp, womp, womp.
To everybody, let's go, Max.
It has fizzled with a capital F, izzle. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, your reaction to the trade deadline. We will take it. Now, Chris Young, you may remember him from his pitching career. I don't think he retired that long ago, maybe 5-6 years ago. He actually pitched for both the Mets as well as the Rangers. So a little bit of deja vu here. He's the general manager of the Rangers now, and he's the one that made this deal for Mad Max.
Really excited. Obviously, Max's pedigree is a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame pitcher. The winner that he is a perfect fit for what we need right now. Always said that you can never have enough starting pitching, and to add somebody of Max's caliber is a great addition to our club, and we're really excited to get him. It was a lot of hard work by a number of people, the front office, scouting department, and eventually we landed the player that we felt like is going to help us get where we want to go this year.
We're pumped about it. I mean, we're getting an experienced guy with a tremendous resume, and so we're very excited to have Max join us. He's going to fly in tomorrow. He'll take a bullpen, and right now we have him scheduled to pitch on Thursday, but yeah, I look forward to seeing him, meeting him, getting to know him.
Bruce Bochy, major key for the Rangers in what has been a first-place residency atop the AL West for most of the 23 campaign. Before that, Chris Young about adding a player of his caliber. Now, Max is 9-4. He's got an ERA that's actually north of 4. So this has not been a great season for him. Remember, he had the suspension for the stickiest substance that they've ever...
It was a little clumpy.
Ever come across in Major League Baseball, if you remember what the umpires had to say about it. And so he's been up and down. It's been a roller coaster ride at the very best. And yet there's a lot of potential there because he's Mad Max. Now, he did have to waive his no trade clause to go to the Rangers. So he says he was surprised. He was not expecting to be traded, but he believes that now, considering what the Mets are doing, that this is a better option.
Considering how we thought of our team in spring training, yes, it is. I mean, that was we came in with World Series aspirations in New York. Steve had gone out there and done everything in the world to provide, a winning ball club for the Mets organization, and unfortunately we didn't play up to par. A lot of guys didn't play up to the standards. I'm accountable for that. Obviously I would like to be pitching better this year. I'm just not.
Like how it ends. Also, the bombshell, which many people will be reacting to on Thursday. Oops, sorry. Well, Thursday if he starts, yes. But definitely Wednesday morning, is that Max kind of outs Steve Cohen and Billy Epler, who is the general manager of the Mets, in that he believes that they are planning to tank. Essentially, that they're planning to work on their farm system, scrap it all from 23 with the highest payroll in baseball. And because of the moves they're making now, it will carry over to a very young team, a team with a lot of prospects, not a team that has a ton of experience. I don't know what that means for Pete Alonso. I don't know what that means for Brandon Nimmo. I mean, there's some other guys on this team that have invested so much and that also stand to make some money, and I don't know what else they do. They're post-trade deadline now, but they certainly have an offseason looming. And so Max Scherzer claims that Steve Cohen and Billy Epler told him that the Mets are not planning to field a contender next season either.
I said, okay, yeah, that's a brand news to me, different than what I'd ever heard out of Steve's mouth. I was like, all right, I got to hear this directly from Steve. So I had a phone call with Steve. And he basically articulated the same vantage point, that was the new vision for the Mets. That was the new timeline that they were identifying, and that, players that were under contract for next year, that they could be potentially sold off at the deadline right now.
Now, we know that there were some other moves made by the Mets, of course. It wasn't just Max Scherzer, who was introduced by the Rangers on Tuesday. Verlander was pre-trade deadline, and the Mets are paying a lot of the salaries for both these two pseudo aces. Also, Mark Canha, and then don't tell me who was the other one. Don't tell me. Wait a minute. Yes, go ahead, Jay. Remind me.
Tommy Pham.
That's right,
David
Tommy
Robinson.
Pham. David Robinson was earlier. So they did make some big moves. A half dozen guys, reliever in there as well, that they shipped out. And essentially what Max is saying is that, according to Steve Cohen and Billy Epler, this is just the beginning. That anybody who's making any kind of money, Francisco Lindor, long contract, they could be on the move as well when the 23 season is done. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So, yes, after losing on a walk-off balk in the bottom of the 10th to the Royals. Oh, and before that, they had a two-run lead in the top of the 10th and squandered it. So just a really bad night for the Mets. Actually, a really bad week, a really bad month, a really bad season for the New York Mets. One that they would be better to forget, except they can't because they're spending a lot of money on this nightmare. Billy Epler spoke to the media and says that the Justin Verlander deal wasn't always a sure thing, but that they felt like they had to take advantage of what was given them by Houston.
Given the place that we were in, we were just trying to be strategic. And we wanted to see what opportunities exist on some of our players. And we had certain price points that we were looking for. And if those were met, we were going to execute it.
Which they did. And all of a sudden, now, going to watch the Mets in person, I'm speaking from fans' perspective, where you think, okay, they're not real good or they're not good at all, but you might get lucky enough to catch Max Scherzer or Justin Verlander on the mound. I would still say that even though that it was a rocky, you know, rocky tenure there in Queens at Citi Field, fans still enjoy seeing those two guys play. You never know when you might see a vintage performance that's more like the future Hall of Fame resume that they've put out there. These are two incredible pitchers, two of the best of our generation, and they've got a lot of experience.
Just want to add that Verlander did get a standing ovation when he exited the mound on, what was it, Sunday or Saturday's last start at Citi Field.
Gotcha. Thank you for letting me know. So Billy Epler trades them away. Now the fans don't have a real reason to be excited. Epler did not deny that the Mets aren't going to be faves in 24.
Going into 2024, you know, we don't see ourselves that we'll have the same odds that we did in 2022, 2023, but we will field a competitive team in 2024. And so now is a time where we start to think about what opportunities can exist in the wintertime, what kind of resources that we'll have at our disposal, and put our best foot forward.
Well, that's that. The Mets are using the rest of this season and a good chunk of next season to build from the ground up. They are loading up the farm system. 10 prospects that they brought in, they feel like could provide some of the stars of the future, but it's going to be a long wait for Mets fans who are already frustrated. Scott Miller joining us from San Diego next here after hours, CBS Sports Radio.